Hello and welcome to another jam episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
What, you're not?
No, but you are my favorite conservative. Aww. Yes.
Thank you.
So we are not live streaming or on camera because we are on vacation right now at the beach.
We are.
Yes. Too much news to miss a week. So we are giving you an audio only episode.
All right. Sounds good.
We're going
to be dipping our toes in the Gulf of Mexico in just a little while, aren't we?
Yes.
All right.
Don't tell people our exact location.
Yeah, because it's really pinpointed the Gulf of Mexico.
And if you hear our dog in the background, we're sorry. All right. So we start each show until the election with the latest polling. Let's get into it because it's not good. It's not good. So,
well, depending on what side you're on.
That's true. Okay. It's not good for Trump. Here we go. In the Real Clear Politics, or RCP, national average, Trump versus Harris, Trump was up by 0.5. And now that's totally flipped. Harris is up by 1.2. Still kind of within the margin of error, but not going the right direction for Trump.
Not a trend for Mr. Trump. He wants to keep on for sure. Yeah. But let's look back on this day in history, shall we?
Yes.
We look back at the 2020 and the 2016 election polling at this particular time. And in 2020, Biden was actually up 7.6% over Trump. And in 2016, Hillary was up 5.8% over Trump. So I know Trump is down, but it's certainly not as dismal as those two numbers.
No, but that was before, as far as Clinton goes, that was before Trump had a record of any kind. So yeah. Okay. Let's get to the battleground states.
Shall we?
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. So tell us about Pennsylvania.
Let's start with Pennsylvania. We'll start with the East Coast. Pennsylvania, last week, Trump was up 0.8. It's now a tie.
It's
0.0. How's
that?
It's
a dead heat. Yes,
dead heat in Pennsylvania. Not good news for Trump.
Take the whole East Coast.
Let's go with North Carolina next. Trump last week was up 3.2. This week, 1.2. Again, not a good trend.
No.
In Georgia, Trump last week was up 0.6. He is now up 1.0. So a little bit of a bump there for him.
Yes. Didn't he have a rally in Georgia?
He had one in North Carolina.
I think
Georgia was the week before.
Okay, let me go to the Midwest. It is bad, bad, bad if you are a fan of Trump. So last week, Trump was up 2.4. There's been almost a 5-point flip. Harris is now up 2.1. In Wisconsin, Trump last week, surprisingly, in my opinion, was up 0.8. Harris is now up 1.0. Now, again, I've said many times, I don't think the Republicans can get Wisconsin, so they should let it go. But I'm very worried about Michigan.
Okay. I echo those sentiments. Let's go out west to our friends in Nevada.
Yep.
Last week, Trump was up 3.7, pretty hefty lead there.
Yep.
He's now up 1.3.
Yeah.
Well within the margin of error.
But still.
And in Arizona, last week, Trump was up 1.5. It is now flipped to Kamala Harris at up 0.2. So the trend this week, looking good. Not surprising, though. I mean,
is this the Harris honeymoon still?
Yeah. You know, every story about Kamala is incredibly positive. Every story about Trump is incredibly negative. And it wears it down after a while. She is hiding, right? So
right.
She's not doing anything. And so she's not giving too much ammo to the other side.
Yeah. And for our listeners, this episode's dropping the first day of the Democratic convention. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting. Yes. On Predict It. God, I love this site. I can never say it. .org. Where people bet on races. Again, it's trending the wrong direction. Harris is at 58. Trump is at 44. Again, to Edward's point last week, these are gamblers. It could be a short play, but still, it's really interesting to see where people are putting their money right now.
Yeah, I think the overall trend of all the polls that we're seeing is Kamala is still surging and cutting into Trump's lead. Trump had very hefty leads in every battleground state when Biden was in the race.
Yes.
And that has completely turned around now.
It has.
Yes.
So what's our main show going to be about today?
Well, it was a surprisingly boring week in presidential politics.
Okay. I just said that we're doing a show from the beach because there's too much going on.
Well, I guess that's what your barometer is, though. See, for me, a boring week is when you don't have, like, I don't know, a presidential assassination attempt. So the bar is pretty high for me to keep topping. So, yeah, it was a pretty boring week. We don't get to say that too often. But the big news was Kamala unveiled her economic plan.
Is that what you call it?
I really don't know what to call it, but basically, she took nearly every idiotic pie-in-the-sky socialist wet dream idea and is trying to label it as a moderate agenda.
Okay. I just love that you said the word wet dream.
Yeah,
that's going to get us the explicit on Apple. Well,
I figured you'd be, at some point in the show, we'd get it anyway. So. Miss Potty Mouth over here.
That's true.
So what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at her proposals, not so much as an economic exercise. We're not going to look into price earnings for price gouging and all kinds of stuff that we'll get into, but what it really means in the real world.
Yeah. So prepping for the show, I thought I would look at her official campaign website to kind of brush up on her economic plan.
Yeah. That's a good place to go when you want to find out what a candidate thinks and what they're going to do. Right.
Yeah. Do you know what I found?
No. What?
Pop-ups for donations, lots of pop-ups, like kind of impressive, and bios on Kamala and her VP pick, Tim Walz. And that's it. I kept looking for this economic plan because I knew you wanted to talk about it. It was unbelievable to me.
I'm trying to think of something catchy to call it because, you know, remember in 2020, Biden did the basement campaign where he didn't come out. He'd like pop his head out like Groundhog Day and then go back down. I'm trying to figure out what to call this. You know, I mean, there's got to be something catchy that.
Well, where did you even find her socialist economic plan? And yes, we're calling it socialist, but where did you find it?
Well, I went to her website.
I know.
Yes, as you did. Yeah, not there. So, you know, yeah, I had to go through the media and look at many, many different websites that actually picked up the coverage on it because I think her event, I think they had a little over 100 people there.
Oh,
yes, at this major unveiling of her economic policies.
I have this like envision or this vision that like it was just on a flyer. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, here's my plan on a flyer.
Yeah, I got to put something out. How's this? This all sounds good.
So tell us more.
Yeah, let's. She's vowing to ease inflation. She's going to fix the housing market and she's going to slash taxes for middle income families.
Okay, so let's start with inflation.
Ah, yes. Before we start,
yes.
Please remember when Donald Trump handed off the economy to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in January 2021, inflation was 1.4%.
Everyone needs to
remember after that. COVID.
We're still in COVID.
In COVID, three quarters of the way through, I guess, or so. But yeah, 1.4%.
Well, so what's Kamala's solution?
Well, she aims to rein in price increases from everything from groceries to prescription drugs to homes.
Okay, so tell our audience exactly, since we can't find it on our website, tell us how she is going to do that.
Yeah, we have to look at her speech that she gave the other day. She proposes, quote, a first ever federal ban on price gouging on food and groceries. Setting clear rules of the road to make clear that big corporations can't unfairly exploit consumers to run up excessive corporate profits on food and groceries, which she had already said earlier. She has a habit of repeating herself over and over and over. But so she's worried about all these excessive profits that grocery stores are making.
I'm going to interject.
Please do.
I meant to interject earlier. Why don't you share with our audience what your very first job was?
I bag boy, yes, at Winn-Dixie and then at Publix.
Yes. Yeah. So the average profit margin in supermarkets is about 1.2%.
Yeah, 1.2, 1.4-ish. Maybe okay. You can get up to 2%.
Slim is the word.
It's tight. Very tight.
Unless you're Whole Foods.
Yeah, the profit margin on specialty grocery stores, you know, the woo-woo high
whole paycheck.
Paycheck ones, yeah. It runs anywhere from 5 to 10%.
Okay, but still, pretty tight.
Yeah, I'm not going to accuse somebody of price gouging if they're making a 10% profit margin. Okay?
Right. So why don't you tell the audience, and we're not dumbing this down, but when people say price gouging, what do they mean specifically? Not what Kamala means.
Yeah. That's a great question to ask because of what they're proposing. So, you know, price gouging are when companies, when corporations, when they raise their prices during emergencies, keyword emergencies,
yes,
like hurricanes, you know, tornadoes, earthquakes, that sort of stuff. So my question is Kamala Harris telling us that she and Joe Biden screwed up the economy so badly that it's now an emergency? Is this where we're going with this?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is you need to remember that this was their doing. They did this.
What was the inflation rate when they took over?
1.4%.
1.4%. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So look in the mirror, Ms. Harris. So, you know, many economists are saying that this will lead to a Venezuelan-style economic meltdown, right? But we don't need to look at another country to see the effects, because this is reminiscent of the 1970s when both parties, Democrats and Republicans, starting with Richard Nixon, went for wage and price controls to control inflation.
How'd that work out for them?
Not real well. Not real well. I remember it. I was a young child in the 70s. That was my 10 to 20 year old phase. So you grow quite a bit. I do remember the price controls. I was maybe 12 or 13. I thought as a 12 year old, it like sounded like a cool idea. As an adult, I realize how idiotic it is, but they failed miserably. The whole price control thing, led to rationing. It led to higher prices, shortages. It made the 70s one of the worst decades in U.S. economic. Yeah.
And you remember being a kid, but talking about being in gas lines.
Yeah, I started to drive in the mid to late 70s. Yep. And my first experience was waiting 2 hours for gas.
God.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of times when you're young, you're thinking, no, maybe this is just how it's supposed to be. But
no,
I kind of realized this is wrong. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. But you got to remember, price controls. What does it do? It leads to shortages. Because producers of those goods, they will slow their production of goods when their profits decline. Because let's look at it this way. You know, you're producing something, and the government tells you can only sell it for a certain amount, but your costs continue to go up, like fuel, right? Everybody's got to truck their stuff. Everybody's got to make their product, all the ingredients, those expenses keep going up, but the government tells you can only sell it at this amount.
Right.
Your profits dwindle to basically zero. You're going to stop making it or
yes.
cut it way back. What does that lead to? Shortages.
Yes.
Right. And right. rationing and that sort of stuff. So it never works.
So let's look at the different sectors where prices have skyrocketed under the Biden-Harris administration.
Okay.
So, and we're going to do these from the highest to the lowest. And these are averages, by the way. School lunches. This one took me a little off guard. And I know you have a theory on it. 66% increase in cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is. To me, what jumps out is, you know, any of these school lunch programs, they're always, there's some sort of union involved in it, and there's always kickbacks going on.
Something.
And for this to go up 66%, it's crazy. Not surprising, crazy, but yeah, not surprising.
All right. That was number one. Number two, car insurance on average has gone up 54%.
Yeah.
And how much has our car insurance gone up personally?
We're over 30% here.
Yeah. Okay. Number three, not surprisingly, I think everyone knows this, no matter where you live, gas has gone up 51%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Electricity, number four, electricity has gone up 32%. And I would say for us, yeah, our electric bill's gone up 20% at least. Okay. Yep. Number five, and you'll notice that a lot of these are connected, right? If gas has gone up 51%, number five, airfare, 3%.
Yeah, jet and fuel, right?
Yes, exactly. And I would argue that it kind of depends where you're going in the airlines, but I would argue that, that is even higher in some cases, like 35%.
Oh, yeah.
Number six, one that everyone's with, groceries. The average increase is 22%. But again, we've heard many people on both sides of the aisle talk about, depending on the goods you're buying, eggs are up 37%. You know, it just depends on what you're buying.
Sure.
So a lot of staples are up. Number seven, one of the many things that Harris is going to fix, even though she broke it, rent is up 22%. And again, that's an average, and that's also connected to the housing market, which is just crazy.
Yeah. Well, I like what you did there because you looked at so many different sectors. So from school lunches to car insurance, to airfare, to groceries and rent. So my question is, think that economy at the same time they could, hey guys, let's all raise our prices and just stick it to the consumers, because that's what Harris wants you to believe now, that there is this massive collusion going on just to screw you people out there.
Yeah.
So you'd have to be a fool to do that. And of course they did it all on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's watch.
Yes,
right?
This all happened under them. So even if you support, if you're a Democrat who supports Harris, try to remember that all of this happened during Biden-Harris administration.
Yeah, I can't imagine how stupid they think we are as the American public. The insulting of our intelligence by trying to say that people are colluding to raise prices when everybody knows it's because of your policies that inflation has gone through the roof. Now, I actually saw, I don't know who posted it or whatever, but I've seen something going around and it says, if your opponent claims you're a communist, of which many people are with Kamala,
right?
Maybe you don't start with an economic agenda that can be labeled as federal price controls, right? So you're feeding right into what they're calling you.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. So let's go to number two on her amazing economic plan that's not on her website. It might be by the time this is published. We'll see. She is going to fix the housing market.
Yeah, she's going to fix it.
Yes.
Let's just fix it.
Okay.
So Harris's plan to grow the supply of homes include a tax incentive that will build starter home affordable rental homes. The plan is to aid buyers with a $25,000 subsidy for first-time home buyers. So I have a question. What happens if you bring into our country 10 to 15 million illegals and wonder why there's a shortage of housing?
Yes.
And
you want to give, okay, we're going to use that quote, give a $25,000 subsidy for first-time buyers. Because if you do that, that's going to drive up the demand for housing and prices.
Yeah. And I saw some analysis that some economists are trying to justify this. And they're saying, well, she wants to also incent home builders to build more homes, but it's a timing thing. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, it doesn't take a lot of time to send somebody $25,000. Like, you know, you can do that immediately.
Yes.
Boom. It takes a little while to, build millions of homes. Yes. and housing units. Yeah. So,
well, I want you to tell us the great economist, his wisdom. What did Mark Cuban say about this?
Mark Cuban, yes. Smart guy. No
Very
question
smart.
About it.
Tech guy, though.
Tech guy, many times over, billionaire. He went on to X the night. This was Friday, last Friday night, that unveiled on Friday. And he he said, well, he did the math on it that it's going to save the average home buyer like $176 a month. What's wrong with that? And he was crucified on the comment section. I mean, I don't know if I saw one person that actually supported it thinking, you're a billionaire, Mark. You're not this stupid. That giving money to people to buy homes that they're not qualified for, right? Likely aren't qualified for. You're going to just drive up the demand for more housing before the supply is going to catch up by far, which is going to raise the price of the house. I'm going to venture somewhere in the area of $25,000.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like when the government was doing their, you know, $7,000 Tesla rebates. Well, they just raised the price of Tesla $7,000.
Right? Yeah. but this is only for American citizens, correct?
Well, you know, she didn't quite go into that. Yeah. So it's kind of what you don't say is what you need to be questioning. Yeah, I want somebody to ask her the question, this for American citizens only?
Yes.
And I'm guessing we're going to get some weasel doublespeak of this is American dream, right? And, you'll get something like that for sure.
All right. Number three on her incredible economic plan, cutting taxes for middle-class families. So the Harris campaign said it aims to keep some money in middle-class consumers' pockets by reducing their tax burden.
Yes, the plans to restore the expanded child tax credit of $3,600 per child that expired in 2022. That was put in during COVID to help families during COVID that couldn't work.
Yes. Right?
Harris proposed a new $6,000 per child tax credit for families with a child in the first year of life, which is an odd phrasing. It's if you got a kid under a year old.
Yeah. Right? So, but it gets even better.
Well, it's odd because when J.D. Vance proposed 3 weeks ago a $5,000 tax credit for families with a child in the first year of life, the media claimed it was horrible because it was going to add $1 trillion to our national debt.
It was a horrible idea.
Horrible idea.
Okay. So I just want our audience to remember, J.D. Vance, $5,000 baby tax credit. Bad. Kamala Harris, $6,000 baby tax credit. Good.
Yeah.
Good. So maybe it's just that extra $1,000.
I guess. Yeah. Because if J.D. Vance is added to the national debt, her more expensive one wouldn't?
Yeah, I know. And what's really interesting about this is the Harris campaign seems to be copying a lot of the Trump-Vance agenda.
Let's go back here.
Yes,
I would say a week ago,
yes.
If you recall, a month or two ago,
yeah.
Trump, no tax on tips, bad. Harris, no tax on tips. Good. Yeah. So again, the media phrased Trump's no tax on tips as adding to the debt because we're not going to be collecting these taxes. With Kamala, it was she's protecting these low and middle income workers.
Can I just say, as a former waitress,
yes.
Who received cash tips, literally nobody claims them. I'm just saying. But more and more, we talked a little bit about this. It's not in our notes here, but we talked a little bit about this, that this proposal came up because now most tips are left on credit cards.
Yeah.
People don't really do cash anymore. But I mean, back in the day, no one claimed their cash tips. Don't audit me, IRS. And so notice they're not actually cutting tax rates.
No, they don't. When you cut tax rates, the history has amazing results. You always increase revenue to the IRS and whatnot. But, you know, I just don't think we should be paying women to have babies. I mean, to me, the answer is to create a strong economy with good paying jobs that allow people to grow their families organically when they want to, not because, hey, we're going to get a check. And not have to worry about the government, you know, pulling the rug out from under them with some, you know, ridiculous schemes like we're seeing. But a good, solid economy gives people the peace of mind that, hey, I feel comfortable. We're making money. We can support our family. Let's do this. This is not what this proposal is.
And the libertarian me just says the answer overall, less government intervention.
Amen, sister. And by the way, I was never a waitress.
Never?
Nope. Never a waitress.
Never a waitress or a waiter?
No. Okay. Definitely not a waitress.
All right. So we don't have a This Week in Wins. but we do have a This Week in WTF. Take it away, Edward. It's from our friend Bradford Betts at foxnews.com. Thank you, Bradford. Give us the headline there.
Headline, Taliban parades American weapons 3 years after chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan.
I love that they said chaotic. Really? Yeah. That's the word for it?
Yeah. Total F up, if you will. Members of the Taliban on Wednesday commemorated the third anniversary of the chaotic American withdrawal from Afghanistan by parading through a former U.S. airbase with American weapons and vehicles that had been abandoned. Bagram Airfield, which cost us $500 million, by the way.
American taxpayers.
Yes. Us, yes, yes. Correct. Was once the center of America's war to unseat the Taliban and hunt down Al-Qaeda militants responsible for 9/11. So this was just so infuriating to see, watching them with this incredible equipment that they have now because we abandoned it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Under the Biden-Harris administration.
Yeah. I think they are one of the top four or five largest, most well-equipped standing armies in the world now. It's unbelievable the amount.
With
weapons. And then to watch them do it at this airbase that we built that cost us gazillions of dollars.
They're just throwing it in our face.
Yeah, it was just, it's just so infuriating. And then to watch how, you know, Kamala Harris, even this week, you know, bragged about she was the last one in the room with Biden when they, you know, went to this.
That's a brag she shouldn't be making.
Yeah. Yeah. it's the lack of what's the word I'm looking for? The awareness.
I was going to say that, awareness. Yeah.
That people, when they hear about the withdrawal or when they think about the withdrawal from Afghanistan, think it was just a major screw up.
Oh, yeah. And it reminds people of Vietnam, of just the clips. You know, obviously I was too young to remember, but the clips that you see from our withdrawal from Vietnam and how terrible it was. And, you know, I think Trump needs to hammer her on this during the debate.
Yeah, he has to. He will. So, yeah, that's a very sad WTF this week.
That is a sad one.
Yeah. Shall we lighten it up a bit?
Yes.
Okay.
Introduce.
Let's do This Week in Woke, which is from our friend David Strom at hotair.com. Now, he is citing Susan Crabtree in this story from realclearinvestigations.com. Why don't you take this one?
Okay. So the headline reads, shock, Secret Service agent left her post protecting Trump to breastfeed baby she brought to the rally.
I'm sorry.
I know.
She left her post protecting Trump.
She had to go
breastfeed a baby she brought to the rally. Okay. Just want to make sure we heard that right.
All right. So, and this is a recent rally. This was not the attempted assassination. But so 5 minutes before Trump's motorcade arrival, the site agent was getting ready. Now, the site agent is not the person who was breastfeeding. The site agent is the person in charge of the entire event security.
So that, like, everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So she's doing the site agent, she or he, doing a final sweep of the walking route and found this Secret Service agent breastfeeding her child in a room that is supposed to be set aside for important Secret Service official work, you know, a potential emergency related to the president.
Like if somebody got shot?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, a working agent on duty, this should be so obvious, cannot bring a child to a protective assignment.
What's the key word there? Cannot.
Cannot.
Okay. Got it.
And this woman was out of the Atlanta field office. Now, here's the kicker. Not only did she bring her child, this female agent was in the room with two other family members. Like, I can't. Now, you may be wondering, how the heck did this happen? Like, how did this woman walk in with a baby and two family members? Well, it turns out they bypassed the uniform division checkpoint, and they were escorted by unpinned event staff into the room to breastfeed. So, you know, this event staff that was not Secret Service, that really didn't know the rules. So this is what sources say. An unpinned means that they had not been cleared by the Secret Service to be there.
Yeah, so that's kind of big. So they bypassed the checkpoints.
Yes, they did. Yes, they literally just waltzed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that after the complete screw up in Butler, Pennsylvania, what, a month ago?
Yes.
That the Social Security,
Social Security,
the Secret Service agents might be on their toes. Yeah, think again.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know, example of wokeism, right? If you are still breastfeeding your child, you can't work as an agent out in the field protecting people.
Actually, I'm going to interject here.
Okay.
You can, and there's a thing called pumping, all right? Every mother I know who is a working mother has had to use a breast pump to provide that breast milk for her child. So this agent easily could have done that and then done her job.
Well, to me, I would just rather see if breastfeeding a child, and on God, I hope this kid wasn't like 6 or 7 years old.
Oh, God, right?
Full wokeism.
That's a double woke.
Administrative work is fine, but you can't endanger other people by your body clock going off at the wrong time.
Well, but again, I'm just going to interject and say, I think it's perfectly fine that she had this assignment. The question to me is, why not pump? Why not? And why put your baby in that kind of danger and your family members? Like, this is.
This isn't bring your baby to Trump rally day.
No,
is it?
It's not. Okay. This is like serious shit. I would love to actually hear from this female Secret Service agent. If you want to come on the show, we're accepting guests next month. Because I just want to understand the rationale behind it. Like, why would you do that? So,
oh, goodness. So, all right, that's our show for this week. But yes. So today, when people are listening to this, tonight is actually the start of the DNC.
It should be interesting.
This will be fun. Yes.
I don't know if fun's the word.
Did we bring popcorn with us?
We did bring popcorn for our trip. We did.
We? Oh,
you know, I love my popcorn.
We're going to pop some tonight. The rumors are that there's 100,000 Antifa / Hamas / Palestinian supporters are going to take to the streets.
Well, here, I have a question about that. Why? Because she is the most liberal. She's more liberal than Bernie Sanders. She was voted the most liberal senator in the Senate when she was a senator. She did not choose, I'm just going to say it, the Jew, Josh Shapiro, right? Mm-hmm. And she chose an extremely liberal governor. What are they protesting?
Well, you know, the old,
I thought they would be happy.
There's an old saying of regulators got to regulate. Protesters got to protest, right? If there's an event and we can protest, and we can, you know, we don't give a crap, right? They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care who, unless you completely vow to eliminate Israel and all Jews on the entire planet, they're not happy.
Okay.
So they will protest anyone.
Wow. All right. So thank you for joining us today for this very special audio only from our vacation episode. We will be back live next Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern, on August 25th. You can see us live on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook, and you can comment real time. We would love that. We always enjoy that. And if you're listening to the podcast right now, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. And you can support our show by joining our locals community and learn more and follow us on all the socials at myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show.
All right. Are you ready to go get some beach sand betwixt your toes?
Yes, I'm ready to go to the beach, even though our dog got us up at before six at this, like, she didn't know we were on vacation.
Yes, dogs don't know vacation time.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone.